The scripture this morning comes from Matthew 7. It's the first 14 verses. Matthew 7, starting in 1. Do not judge others so that God will not judge you. For God will judge you in the same way you judge others, and he will apply to you the same rules you apply to others. Why then do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the log in your own eye? How dare you say to your brother, please let me take that speck out of your eye, when you have a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs. They will only turn and attack you. Do not throw your pearls in front of pigs. They will only trample them underfoot. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive. And anyone who seeks will find. And the door will be opened to him who knocks. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a stone when he asks for bread? Or would you give him a snake when he asks for a fish? As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Do for others what you want them to do for you. This is the meaning of the law of Moses and of the teachings of the prophets. Go in through the narrow gate, because the gate to hell is wide, and the road that leads to it is easy, and there are many who travel it. But the gate to life is narrow, and the way that leads to it is hard, and there are few people who find it. These are the words of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. In the message this morning, you're going to have to hang on to your hats a little bit, because we're going to several places in this scripture, because it talks about several things. But first, I want to tell you that I have discovered there is some redeeming value to television. Not much, mind you, but there is some. Because the other day I was watching a show on PBS in Green Bay, and it was about cranberries. And I was learning stuff about cranberries. Did you know that there are 440 cranberries in 1 pound? And I'll bet you didn't know that there are 4,400, mind you, 4,400 cranberries in 1 gallon of juice. I knew you would be amazed. When harvest time comes, the bogs are flooded. And we've seen that. It's kind of fun if you're in that part of the state at the right time. And then the berries are floating on the surface. It makes it easier to harvest them. They take them to the factory in big trucks. And when they get to the factory, they're washed. And they're looked over, and the machines process them and size them and do all kinds of other things. And it's very interesting, because they're inspected as they go along by the machines. But when they get to the last step, the very last step before they're packaged and sent on their way, they are inspected one more time by a human being. It's human eyes and it's human hands that decide if the berries that are going past them are acceptable or not. And I tell you all of that to tell you this, that being a fruit inspector is very honorable work. And the reason I bring that up is because as Christians, we are often labeled as judgmental. Judgmental in a very bad way. Self-righteous is thrown at us sometimes. Holier than thou is thrown at us, especially when we stand up for godly principles in our lives and in this world. And you're really going to be in trouble if you speak out. If you try to share with someone who is obviously doing something wrong, and you need to tell them. But you see, when this fruit inspection is done in the correct way, we're not judgmental, we're merely fruit inspectors. Remember what it says in Galatians 5? The first part is the tough part. It says, this is Galatians 5, 19 through 23, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then there's a whole list. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But now listen to the fun part, the fruit of the Spirit. What can be produced when a life is turned over to Christ? This is Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Truly, when we're under God's guidance, our fruit inspecting identifies people that are in need of godly wisdom. And you know what? You could well be the very person that God has in mind to go and speak to them about that area of their life, to help them out. James 5, 19 and 20. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Okay, God, I'm getting this a little bit. Not feeling too comfortable at the moment because you've just asked me to kind of be a fruit inspector, and if I see fruit with some rotten spots, to maybe go and help take care of that. I don't like the part, God, where I'm supposed to be the one that's supposed to go and help, because now am I judging someone? I want you not to worry as your assignment as a fruit inspector about becoming judgmental. You just have to keep in mind the instructions that Jesus gave us in the very first verses that we read today. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, if you keep that thought in mind, if that's how you go at this, and you go at it with the help of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to look at your own life first before you ever go to talk to somebody else. Before you're ever going to enter in any kind of a conversation about correcting others. I was excited about being able to go to junior high. Because in junior high, you got to go do wood shop. There's really great big fun tools in there. And if you behaved and didn't send boards zinging across this classroom, Mr. Shepler would do everything he could to help you out. And you got to wear these really cool glasses. They're called safety glasses, goggles. They're really big, you know. I can't do the goggle thing, but they're really big. And they covered your eyes. They protected your eyes from the sawdust, from the bigger debris that might be flying around. And you really look cool as a seventh grader with goggles on. But you know what? You could never get those goggles on if there actually was something sticking out of your eye. Think about that for a minute. Remember the log in your own eye? I want to use the word plank here, or otherwise the message title doesn't make sense. If you've got something sticking out of your eye, how are you ever going to get the goggles on? And by the way, in this business of going to others, the goggles are given to you by the Holy Spirit. When you deal with your own condition first, then you'll be able to put on the goggles of sight of the Holy Spirit. And then you'll be empowered to be able to go to others in the right timing. And oh, by the way, if you're still carrying around a few specks in your own eyes from past things, that's not a bad deal. Yes, you might have had things in your life, the specks, those sins, and yes, you've been given forgiveness for them. Don't forget that. But yes, it's a good thing to maybe have a few of them around, because then when you go to others, you can be a real person. You have dealt with some of that stuff. Don't be surprised if God calls you to go talk to somebody about this part, and it turns out that was a part of your life that He's cleansed, that He's redeemed, that He's taken care of. Because you might be the very one that has the right words to say. It's a privilege, my friends, to properly deal with and properly allow God to help you to be able to talk to others. By the way, I want to answer that question for you. And in the title of the message, it says, is plankaya condition or a band? And the answer is both. You see, plankaya is a condition. I've had it myself. I try real hard not to get it again. But plankaya is a condition that is curable by God. But plankaya is also a band. I was surprised, for I found a band that John Michaels did not know. Plankaya was an alternative Christian rock band. See, he just heard his name and now he's scared. But Plankaya was an alternative rock band, Christian, mind you, in the 90s. And now I'm going to reveal something that you need to know about me, and it's to my wife's shame. My choices in music are very strange. I like a lot of different stuff. And alternative rock and roll is a lot of fun. And when it's Christian, it's even more fun. So plankaya is both. But let's talk about something else in this scripture that we find today. Now that you know that you need to examine your own life before you ever set out correcting someone else, you also need to know that you shouldn't be in a hurry. We are interesting people, us human beings. And sometimes people are not yet ready to hear what we have to tell them. My second prayer always when God tells me go and do something is, you mean right now? And oftentimes it's, no, not right now. I just want you to know so that you'll be looking for the right time and the right place. You see, there's this whole business, and talks about it in the scripture for today, about throwing your pearls in front of the swine, in front of the pigs. Let me tell you about James Avery Jewelry. They're an outfit out of Texas. They're a Christian outfit. They make beautiful stuff. And my wife has discovered them. And James Avery Jewelry looks beautiful on my beautiful wife. And so, it was getting close to her birthday one time, and we had one of their catalogs, and I love their catalogs, because when I finally figure out something, it's just 1-800-something or other. They already have my charge card numbers. It's easy. They send it back to me gift-wrapped with a card. It's awesome. But I'm looking through the catalog, and I find this pearl necklace. It was gorgeous. I'm thinking, Barbie will look terrific in that. And it was $1,000. I found something else. But what if I would have purchased that necklace? And what if I would have lived on a farm? And what if the farm had pigs? And what if I would have gone out there and thrown the necklace in the pig pen? What would the pigs do with it? Well, the first thing they would do is they would try to eat it. And once they found out it was food, it was not food, then they'd just spit it out and it would lay there on the ground and they'd trample it into the dirt, into the mud. And there, yikes, would be my $1,000 necklace, totally ignored by the pigs. The message of the kingdom of God is priceless, my friends. And when we bring it to people in God's timing, then it's a beautiful thing. And if we get there too early, sometimes it'll fall on the floor and they'll just walk all over it. The good news, you see, is that if you and I will stay close to Jesus, then we'll have the message with us and God will provide the timing. And we'll know exactly what to say because it will be part His words and part our own, because we're real people, and it'll be delivered in just the right way, in just the right place, to bring wonderful things to the hurting people of this world. Jesus will always give you the opportunity. I told you about my music taste. There's a band. I'm very sad because they're breaking up this year. It's an outfit called David Crowder Band. I've got some music of theirs on my iPod. One in particular is an album called Collision. And the very first song on the album is wonderful. It says, "Everybody wants to go to heaven." That's the title. And then you listen to the first line and it goes like this. "Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die." And I thought, you know, you just described the human condition. It's just the way we are as people, is it not? And there are some folks that they don't want to die because they don't know that there's more. The only thing they know is this, here and now, and they don't know it's more. And oh, what hope we have to share with them. What a story we have to tell them. Tell them when we can go with Jesus' help and let them know that life does not come to an end. Oh yes, our bodies will give up one day and they'll quit on us. But we'll live on forever, our souls, in eternity. And Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God in the scripture today. He clearly describes that there's a way to enter heaven, and then there's a way that's more popular, but it's not the right way. The narrow gate is described, and it refers to a very small space. There's little room there. And you and I are going to need careful directions to find the one way to get through the gate. It tells us that the road to that gate, not only being narrow, is hard, because it refers to the discipleship that we must have in order to continue on the road. Sometimes it means persecution. Sometimes it means opposition to what we believe in and where we're headed. However, this is the road that leads to life eternal. Luke 13:24, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." Just as there is a narrow way, there's a wide gate. Scripture says, Jesus himself said, that road to there is easy. The gate's easy to find. The path is easy to follow. There's plenty of room for many people to wander in and continue in whatever direction they wish. But then, hear Jesus, because he warned us about that way, the easy way. He said that the wide gate leads to destruction, to eternal damnation. It's a place you and I call hell. The gate leading to life and life to the fullest and life eternal is narrow, not because it's difficult to become a Christian, but because there is only one way. And quite honestly, There are only a few who truly decide to walk that road. Believing in Jesus is the only way to eternal life, because he is alone in dying for our sins to make us right with a holy God. The road is hard because true discipleship calls for sacrifice and servanthood. Following the crowd along life's easy path results in ruin. Choosing the narrow way of difficulty and sacrifice ultimately leads to eternal life. So I have to ask you this morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, have you found the gate? Are you sure? It's the gate where Jesus stands, waiting for you. And you may enter that gate by trusting your whole life to Jesus completely, 100% of you trusting in Jesus. You can't keep any of it back for yourself. You got to give it all to him. But I'm here to tell you, it'll be the greatest blessing that you've ever known. However, if you are someone who has found themselves by the wide gate, you don't even remember or realize how you got there, I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to think that you are without hope. If you suddenly discover that's where you are, then turn away from that gate. It's called repentance. Turn away from it and go looking for the other one, and God will lead you there. You see, Jesus' invitation is still open to you and for you so that you may enter the way to eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for making the way. And you did it through your Son. And so we celebrate this day. We give you thanks for that. And then we're mindful that as we know this wonderful good news and hope, that sometimes it is ours to take to others. So would you empower us and give us the ability to do it? Let us do it just as real as we are. In your name we'll go. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.